I want to welcome you and also tell you that you are loved and missed. It's a bit awkward preaching to an empty room. I remember being back in Bible college, and as a ministerial student, sometimes they would videotape us preaching to an empty room and then tell us things that would possibly improve our preaching, and I feel like I'm a bit back in seminary. The ministry center is happiest when it is full. And throughout the week, we're used to it being kind of quiet in here. We enjoy Wednesdays and Sundays when God's people gather and come to worship the Lord and encourage one another. The elders and I met last night, and we decided that our testimony as a church was best served by our obeying our civil authorities and by our taking whatever measures we could to protect one another. And so we decided to meet remotely, having remote services, as it were, through video until April the 5th. We refer to ourselves as the body of Christ. Often we keep saying that this is the ministry center. It's a building, it's not the church. And as members of the body of Christ, we need one another. And we have chosen to meet separately, temporarily, but with the goal that we can meet together soon. And one thing that still remains is that we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our head. So I challenge you to use this time wisely and to get caught up on some scripture reading and to study the word and to pray for one another and to seize the opportunities that are given to you, whether it's somebody that comes to your door or through social media, so that we can boldly tell of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. On Wednesday nights, we have been studying through Psalm 63, and many of you have been part of this series so far, and some of you are hearing for the first time. Martin Luther loved the book of Psalms, and so do many in our fellowship. Maybe some of your favorite passages or verses that you go to for comfort are found in that. But Psalm 63 is fascinating because here is David back in the wilderness again, back in hiding, back to being a fugitive king, not running from Saul this time, but from his own son Absalom. And throughout this psalm, it is full of praise and resolute wonder, and he's fastened on the goodness of God. But with all his needs, at the end of his life, having been to be back in the wilderness, he doesn't ask God for anything. Let me read this psalm to you, Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, and the mouths of liars shall be stopped. I've said before that David, by this point in his life, knew his way around that part of the world, the wilderness, the caves to go to, but he knew even more that his greatest resource was his God, and his greatest duty was to rejoice in God. So we have been talking about this theme of being satisfied, making God your greatest desire. We've talked about why this is important and how to do this. In those first few verses, he talks about this required him to consider God in all that he did, and that's what we should do. Include God, make God center in all of our decisions. It means spending time alone with God, talking and adoring him. And it requires the act of adoring God and praising him with our lips. I'd like to look in verses 5 through 8 at this next section of making God our sole delight. It wasn't until some of us were in Bible college that we learned this song. And let me read it to you. It's an old Irish hymn. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save as thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. David found that time with God is what sustained him in a very barren time. He was in a part of the world that some of you have been to, and it's very harsh. It's very remote. Spurgeon said there was no desert in his heart, though there was a desert all around him. The times in which we live, with a great amount of uncertainty going on around us, it may seem like a desert. But for those who say, my hope is in God, and I love God supremely, we can say, there is no desert in my heart. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of desperation all around us right now, or people are looking for something to fulfill themselves. They're aware of their need, and they're looking to themselves, and they're looking to others, and they're looking to the goodness of man, and all these things come up empty. It's interesting how that hard times expose what is really in the heart of the unbeliever. For the believer, we have a great opportunity. This is a very fertile field in which we should be working. We should have and show and tell of our confidence, and not only speak of it, but live that out, that we are wholly trusting in Christ alone. Our society needs Christians, believers, disciples of Christ today, who think of Christ, who live in the light of Christ, not just on Sunday, not just in times of emergency, but every moment of every day. So let me have us look, first of all, at verse 5, where he says, my soul shall be satisfied as with fat and rich food. We could back up to verse 3 that I've covered before, but when David says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. I was thinking how that Satan is not convinced of this. In fact, he tries to convince us otherwise. He comes in the presence of God and says, skin for skin, all that a man has that he will give in exchange or for his life. And we've talked about how life is precious, and we tenaciously hold to life, and we're willing to have surgery done to us if we think it will prolong our life, for that matter. But Satan is not right. We don't give everything. Life does not mean everything. When a person says, you know what means more to me than the breath in my lungs and my own existence, is the fact that my hope is in God. The steadfast love, the mercies, the kindness of God is better to me than this brief existence. Going back to verse 5, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. If you haven't eaten in a while, you get anxious. You maybe get even a little bit shaky. When you've sat down and had a nice meal and you are full, you are satisfied. The belt gets loosened a little bit. A person may fall asleep in their easy chair. David is speaking of this spiritual satisfaction. He says, when all else is crumbling, is falling down around us, we can be satisfied. And that is a brilliant facet of our testimony. That when others are panicking, I spoke to one of our parishioners, one of the members of Westerville Bible Church just the other day, and she was just exhibiting a faith and hope in God. For us to be content doesn't mean that we are complacent. We are satisfied. Augustine wrote in the 300s, he said, our hearts are restless until we find our hope in thee. And several authors and preachers down through time have reinforced that theme, that there's a restlessness, a desire that our hope is in God and that we are satisfied in him, not the things of this earth. Daily, and especially here in 2020 and the uncertainty of these times, it's good for us to taste and see that the Lord is good. There are way too many professing Christians out there today who are viewing God in an auxiliary role. God comes along and finishes out what I can't find anywhere else. But that's not what David is talking about when he says this banquet feast, this grand dinner set before me is God. David wasn't pining away after the things that he had left behind in Jerusalem. He was longing after time alone with his God. Christ wants to be our first love, our greatest resource, our highest delight, and nothing short of that. So here in March of 2020, when people are scrambling to the store, waiting in lines to get bread and to buy another thing of bottled water, we have an opportunity to speak of Jesus. We speak of Jesus as the bread of life. And as Jesus said, he who comes to me shall never hunger, shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. We look to the times in which we live and the opportunities to not just tell people that we're doing fine, but Christ is all in all. Our message here today is not only that Jesus saves, but the fact that Jesus satisfies. And like nothing else, we want that to be a reality in us, that we love his word and time spent alone with God, and that when that is a reality in us, it will shine out through us. We pray for that. And we must always be on guard that we don't settle for anything short of this. We're always watching out for the idol factory we call our heart. Aware that the siren calls from job and wealth and health and family and even church, all these things can be very satisfying, and people can look to church as meeting social needs. But we are looking to Christ who satisfies. In verse 6, he not only says that we delight in God as our greatest need, but we delight in him as our greatest preoccupation. Look at this. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. A true love for God means he is where the mind goes. I have different duties and pursuits and studies and calls and things that call for my attention, but dozens, if not scores, of times a day, my thought goes to my wife. I love my wife. I wonder how she's doing. I wonder if she's at lunch now, and things of that nature. No one was any longer making David's meals, prepping his bed, laying out his clothes. His needs were all left behind, or his needs were taken with him. His need providers were all left behind. But he had before him and in his mind's eye his God, and he was fixed on God. I was thinking today that David had known people who had very fickle devotion. After David slew Goliath, there was a song that was popular for a while that Saul had slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Some of those same people, before too long, were ready to look to another or to turn David in. Several chapters later, in 1 Samuel 23, David comes to the aid of the people in a town called Keilah. And yet, a little bit later, David is having to pray to the Lord, "Will they turn me over to Saul?" And God says, "Yes, they will." The devotion of mankind is fickle, but David says, "That's not what I want my devotion and love for God to be." David says, "I practice, I rehearse God. I meditate on the Lord in the watches of the night, throughout the night." Adversity didn't break this man. It exposed what meant so much to him. It showed where his highest affection was. And so it should be with us. Don't just think about Christ when you need something from Christ, but make him, as we saw in this song, your best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray for one another. We thank you that at all times we can say with great confidence that you see us and hear us and you know us intimately and you never leave us. So Lord, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We may live in what I have called uncertain times, but they are not uncertain to you. You know the end from the beginning. We do not, but we know the one who holds these times in his hands. We pray for those who are struggling, those who may be sick, those who are beset with anxiety or worry. We pray rather that you would coach us, speak to us, that our thoughts may be back on you, that instead of looking at the winds and waves and the boisterous conditions around us, we might look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We might look to the one who is walking on the storm and bids us walk to you. So Lord, help us to persevere. Help us to be able to say, "My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food." Not looking to a time when the stock market is doing better and jobs are restored and the pantry is full, but times that we will be looking to you constantly, persevering in faith, growing in Christ, with joyful lips praising you. Lord, assist us even tonight in these times to remember you upon our bed. When the mind wants to worry and fret, yet we're told to be anxious for nothing. Help us to meditate instead on you in the watches of the night, knowing that you have been my help. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.